Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I'll follow though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing. May I
Amen. Good evening, everyone. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Station. Amen. And so we also welcome God. Amen. And we greet God. Amen. Because even though he's already here and we're just getting here, we bless God for him being here and say good evening, God, Jesus Christ, and Holy Ghost and the angels, the archangels, minister angels, everybody. Amen. We thank God for all of them being here as well in the spirit. Amen. To manifest some things to us on tonight, according to our faith being unto us, and also to do a work within us. God is going to do a work within us for those of us that will open up ourselves to him, to just believe in it and receive it and take the as they say, the meat and spit out the bone, amen, and digest it, because he doesn't want us on milk. So we say good evening to everyone, amen. So also we want to start off with a quick prayer right quick, amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just bless you, Lord, for who you are. We embrace you this morning, Lord, acknowledging you even with a prayer, setting the atmosphere so that you can establish yourself, establish your laws, your love, your peace, your joy, healing, deliverance, whatever else, and your fire. And Lord, we bless you on this evening, on tonight. This is your night, an intimate night, a loving night, a night that's full of establishment in your word and your presence, your spirit, and your power. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as I go forth before the people, I surrender myself unto you. I yield completely unto you. Father God, I give you permission to do whatever it is you want to do, even in it through your vessel, your mouthpiece, your messenger, even as your prophet. Prophetically and apostolically, I say yes, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done in Jesus' name. With that being said, Father God, we bind the strategies and tactics of Satan, the defeated coward, the liar. We say that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every slanderous tongue we condemn now by the power of the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over this radio station, over every electronic, over every studying tool, over every individual in our atmosphere, and we bring this atmosphere subject now to your power, your presence, and your word, and your spirit, and we command everything and everyone to flow in alignment and unity in your spirit in Jesus' name. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you with anticipation and expectation. Thank you for the manifestation, and Lord, we even come to you presenting our now faith to you in Jesus' name, for all things are possible to them that believe, and with God, nothing is impossible. In Jesus' name, Lord, we believe and receive with heart faith and not Thomas faith, because we do not desire to be cursed, only blessed. In Jesus' name it is so. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Good evening, everybody. Amen. Good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I will be a speaker on tonight. So again, I acknowledge God. Good evening, God. I love you so much and appreciate you and the power of the blood of Jesus. I want to say also, I give an honor to God, who's the head of my life. I thank God for allowing me to even be on this radio station. I thank God for the people that's over this radio station and for them even allowing us to be here. Amen. And labor and sacrifice and pour out to the people and be used by God. God bless you all. Thank God for my leaders. Amen. Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree, amen. Thank God for Eagles Wings Ministries International. We are a church with and without walls, amen. And bless God for all of you, known and unknown. We don't have to know you by the flesh, amen. It's by the spirit, amen, that we carry one another and pray for one another and pray without ceasing and cover each other, amen. So we bless God for each and every one of you. Welcome, amen, to God's playground, as I like to say, amen. So tonight, amen, as we go forth in God's fire, I pray that you came with your faith, not yesterday's faith, 5 months ago faith, because if you know, like I know, things do become stale and expired. Everything has a date on it. Everything has a time and a season on it. Just like with food and milk, there's a set date where if you don't eat it, when you're supposed to, is going to get mildew and rotten and stale and have a spoiled smell to it. Amen. So tonight, make sure you have your now faith with you. I don't care how much it is. The thing is, do you believe in God? Amen. Will you choose to have heart faith and not Thomas faith? Do not come to God with the wrong attitude, demanding him, amen, to prove himself to you when he already has. Amen. And Jesus is the evidence of that, along with other things. And amen. So praise God on tonight. I pray that you have your faith, that you do not have your guard up with God. Amen. Even when it comes to rebuke and chastisement and his rod and staff, because that's the way we become more spiritually mature. We have to have discipline as well. Amen. For we have seen from time and time again in the past what happens when you do not have discipline. Amen. Hallelujah. And you move before your time. Glory be to God. So tonight, I am Prophet Gabrielle Bonner. I will be speaking to you and following God as he lead me, and I'm flowing in his spirit, his power, and his might, and his strength, and in his word. Amen. So tonight, something that's been in my spirit the Lord was talking to me about is, glory be to God, I come to talk to you with love and kindness. Just talk to you in an intimate setting about fighting back. Amen. Fighting back. I encourage you tonight. It doesn't matter if you're a baby in Christ or you're a heavyweight and you're in high ranking in leadership. I come to say to you, fight back. Amen. Hallelujah. So many times, if we, even in these times, you have so many people in the church, especially because we're the ones to lead by example. You have so many people in the church that's not even babes in Christ anymore, and they've been in this race for years, and instead of fighting back, they tuck tail and they run and they either leave and do the opposite of Uriah or Ruth or David. They run and leave their leadership on the front line by themselves, or they run and leave their family. They leave their spouses. They just leave everything and they just run and tuck tail from the attacks and warfares, the temptation, the trials and tribulations, their natural circumstances, situations. As they grow more, instead of them fighting all the more and amping up their prayer life, amping up their praise and worship, amping up even their spending time with God, they do the opposite. So tonight, and the sad thing is the prayer line stayed long because you have so many people still getting in the prayer line that's been in ministry for too long, too many years, and it should not be so. I once told somebody, if you study Jesus, Jesus didn't ask and never asked anyone to pray for him. Go look it up. Go back in the scriptures in the New Testament. Pay attention to that. Catch that by your spirit. The Bible is full of subliminal messages. I'll break that down to you in a second. Hallelujah. If you pay attention to Jesus, he didn't never get in anyone's prayer line. He didn't never have his emotions all on broadcast publicly. Catch this by your spirit. Look back and go back to Jesus' methods. He always went to his Father. He always prayed. Hallelujah. He always communicated with God. He drew away a lot to spend time with God, especially as he got closer to fulfill what he had touched and agreed and came into agreement with God to use him to do. Jesus was about touching and agreeing. You don't believe me, I'm going to back it up. So here's what I come to encourage you on tonight. Because I don't do name calling, but God don't want us to be a coward in ministry. He didn't raise cowards. God doesn't raise cowards. Amen. What do I mean when I say coward? I wouldn't look that up because I want you to hear me by the Spirit and hear God's heart and his voice on what he's saying on tonight. A coward, when I looked it up, this is the one God said to pull out that one and tell my people. See, this is for us, especially in ministry. And again, if you're a babe in Christ on tonight, this is to help you out with how to be as you're growing in God. Amen. This is more so for those who've been in the race for quite some time. God is saying you should not still be operating as a baby when you've been off the milk long time ago. Why are you still holding on to milk stuff? Why won't you choose to get on the meat and fight back? Hallelujah. A coward, the first definition I want to encourage you with is a person who lacks the courage to do or endure dangerous or unpleasant things. I ask you on tonight, what in your life is unpleasant that is like a thorn in your flesh like Apostle Paul had, glory be to God, or it's like you can't catch a breath or a breather to save your life like Job? Well, when one day you go to work, you're on your way to work, this happened. When you got that fix trying to get back on the interstate, another thing happened, and you had to be a witness to it. You couldn't leave the scene. You get to work, now your manager, supervisor got something to say. Oh, glory be to God. Then when you get back home, on your way home, something happens. Before you get your foot in the door, you get a call from the school, this doesn't happen. So glory be to God. What unpleasant things, I ask you on tonight, for those that are more spiritually mature, are you enduring, but you're lacking the courage again when you know what to do? You already know what to do, but you're allowing yourself to lack courage. You're allowing yourself to lack the faith. You're allowing yourself to lack the belief in God that you're supposed to have because you're supposed to be leading by example by now. Hallelujah. If you need to tell others the number to dial to get on in, or you would like to comment or get prayer or ask a question, feel free. The number is 347 845-5416. Amen. You are always at liberty and freedom to speak up and speak out. Amen. Glory be to God. So carrying on, amen. Glory be to God. You have a lot of people who are members in church that's been in ministry. We've been in ministry for quite some time, but for different reasons, and I know the roots of one of them I can help you out with that with, is two roots to that that needs to be dealt with within us in the church. Glory be to God. You have two main reasons that's the root that need to be dealt with within us that Jesus already led by example, showing us these things we must do. We must understand and know about ourselves and God. Two main things. First of all, there's an identity crisis, something serious with a lot of people in the church. Why do I say that? Why do you say that, Prophet? Because if you knew who you were, you would stop letting Satan get to you like he do. Catch that by your spirit. When you know who you are, it won't move you when he come using your fiance. It won't move you when Judas come in. You're boldly welcome, Judas. Come on, Judas. I need you. I got to get to where I go. You're part of the plan. You're part of the process. No Judas, no process. Hallelujah. Catch that by your spirit. An identity crisis. Because, see, that's why Jesus was able to float on, float on. Because he knew he was. He was able to float, float on. Amen. And even when the religious folks, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priests and the scholars, you know these people in the Bible who had a form of godliness, but denied the power. They were powerless. Hallelujah. They couldn't do nothing with a demon or a devil or nothing like that because they was already sexing them. They was already into a corrupted union, ungodly union with these demons. How are you going to rebuke something that you're married to? Not going to happen. Hallelujah. So with that being said, the one root is we have an identity crisis in the church. A lot of folks that holler, Lord, Lord, really don't know who they are. They're still battling with their own identity. Because when you know who you are, you'll begin to stand up in the spirit, get off your head, come out of your emotions, get out of your feelings, get out of your opinions, and come out of religiosity and say, wait a minute. Hold on now. This is not what's supposed to be happening. First of all, let me fix this in the spirit. Let me go in the spirit and fight back with my prayer. Let me go to the word of God. What does the word of God say about this right here? Let me go back and look at Jesus. What did he do when he was experiencing and encountered this? Because remember, Jesus, he was tempted in the wilderness by Satan for 40 straight days. Catch that by your spirit. And he was in flesh, just like you and I are in flesh for however long we're going to be here. Hallelujah. But never did he say he was going to bow down to Satan. Never did he become a coward to Satan. Never did he tuck tail and run like a little chihuahua and whimper because of what Satan was presented to him and he just couldn't take it, or he's just a man. Not so. The devil is a liar. But because of him spending time with God and him knowing who God is and him knowing who he himself is, he was able to stand the whole 40 days. And he was fasting and consecrating with no natural food. He was getting fed off of food from God, and he drew closer to God. This is what we're supposed to be doing for those who are not babes in Christ anymore, because we know better, so we're supposed to be doing better, because this is why you cannot see the manifestation of God in the church like you're supposed to. Identity crisis, and we have yet, most of us have yet to know who God actually is. A lot of us think we know God because we're used to religious accolades and the hooping and the hollering and the entertainment and the religious sayings that's not even scriptural, but who actually knows God? You know them by the fruit they bear. See, that's how you know who knows God. Look at their lifestyle. What fruit are they bearing? Look at them when they're going through attacks and warfare. Look at us. Check us out. Inspect our fruit. What are we saying when we're going through attacks and warfare and temptation? How are we choosing to deal with it? Are we running and tucking tail? And when it's prayer time or worship time or stuff to labor in ministry, our leaders cannot find us because we somewhere like a chihuahua whimpering with our tail out and Satan just whipping our tail with lashes? What are we doing? Pay attention to that. Hallelujah. Number two, the meaning to a coward is excessively afraid of danger or pain. I come to ask us on tonight, glory be to God, again, remember, this is not directed towards babes in Christ. This is for those of us who've been in the race for quite some time. Hallelujah. Because God said, to much given, much is required. Why are we not fighting back and standing our ground the way we should? Number two, excessively afraid of danger or pain. First of all, I don't care what attack or things you're experiencing, even that manifests in the natural in your body that Satan is trying to intimidate you with. Do not allow fear to kick in, and now you're back running to the doctor's office, or now you're in the long prayer line that's wrapped around the corner for 3 hours, and now you're in everybody's inbox because you know they are flowing the anointing, and you know that by the fruit they bear, they're God's prophet or his apostle, evangelist, deacon, bishop, you name it, pastor. You're in their inbox because you done let fear seize you like Esther did. But see, here's the difference between some of us and Esther. She chose to press on and obey God and follow through, and look what happened. She had a great reward in her culture. The question I ask to us in the church is, are we choosing to rebuke that fear after we've let it seize us and fight back and hit that root with the word of God, hallelujah, and fight back and not let up until it loose us, until we feel our healing and deliverance, glory be to God, and now we can go and help somebody else and give them the strategy that we just used and applied. Because faith without works is dead. Glory be to God. So if you would like to let someone know to hurry up and get on, or if you would like prayer, or you want to comment, or you want to ask a question, amen, feel free and dial the number 1, hallelujah. And also when you're given the number, it's 347-945-5416. If you want to comment, you have a question, or you want to share something, or ask a question, amen, and you want to or get prayed for, amen, you want someone to touch and agree with you, push the number 1, amen, praise God. So again, there is a problem if most of us in the church are allowing fear to still be the strong man. The word of God says we must bind the strong man. You bind the strong man. The strong man should not be binding you. You should not be bound by a strong man of fear. No spirit that's against God's word. We should not be bound by that, and we're mature believers. Something is wrong with that picture. Hallelujah. We've been in ministry for this long, and we still bound by fear or generational curses in the family bloodline, and we're now married with a new family? That looked like a contradiction to me. Some people would say that's an oxymoron. Jesus, help us on today. But see, it's easy to be religious because it doesn't require you to think. See, a religious mindset does the learned behavior that it learned in the church or in its environment. See? So, see, I don't have to think when I've learned the behavior. I'm just operating in rituals. Uh-oh. Oh, Jesus. We got to look at ourselves now, God, trying to help us out on tonight. Why is it that so many are bowing down to fear? See, when you have a learned behavior, it don't provoke you to think. It don't stimulate your mind because you done learned that behavior. So now you're just doing, you're like a robot in the church. Oh, you're a robot. You're just doing what you learn. But what about when you start getting attacked? What about when stuff start hitting you? Oh, and you say you know the word and you know what the scripture says, but you're still being a robot. Uh-oh, you're still getting fearful. Now, see, there's a difference when you're nervous because now you done got ordained and affirmed in the office. And it's a new place for you. That's different. Okay? God still will have people to help you. And you know that you are personally supposed to still draw closer to God and let him always be your source and your top teacher, your first teacher. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Number 3, the definition of coward is said of an animal, not calling anyone an animal because we know we're not animals. Amen. It said, depicted with a tail between the hind legs. Remember I said that? I mentioned a chihuahua, tucking tail and running. All you see is your hind tail out, and you shivering with fear because you won't face this spirit that's been attacking you. You won't face what Satan been doing to you. Instead, you want to get in the prayer line and say subliminally what you're saying is, can you face it for me? Will you face that attack for me? Prophet, can you deal with that for me? Apostle, can you fight that battle for me? That's not their battle to fight. They can touch and agree with you. And even if the Lord is showing them what's really going on and the root to it, if God is saying for that person who may be anointed to break it for you, sure. But a lot of things God is trying to mold us and build us to fight on our own and stand on our own 2 feet, like David did, because he didn't raise cowards. He created to be a coward. Nobody he created to be bound by spirits or to be bound by fear or your emotions or opinions or feelings. That's not the kind of God we chose to serve. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It makes no sense for those if we're not bathed in Christ, and it makes no sense if demons and evil, wicked spirits and perverted spirits are more bolder than us. When they have no fear, they don't care what you're doing. They come and disturb your peace, disturb this, and try to mess with this, mess with your children, whether spiritually, naturally, mess with your fiance, mess what God is doing. And you mean to tell me you're not going to choose to fight back and stand your ground, even go and get someone to clutch and agree with you, a glory be to God, and get an understanding, or ask God to show you how to give you the wise strategy in the spirit to stand your ground? Ask the Holy Ghost, show me which scripture do I go to hit this demon with, hit Satan back with. Because that's what Jesus did. People say, what would Jesus do? We already know what he would do. He did it. Now, what about you? Because he said, greater works we shall do. Are we doing it? Are we doing it? Are we choosing to do what we're supposed to be doing? Jesus made it already easier for us. See? God said, I'm making it even easier because I created you all in my likeness and image to have dominion over everything. Even warfares, attacks, and temptations, even your natural circumstances, situations. God said, when you saw me, what I did, when I created the earth, that's what you do in your life. When you saw what my son Jesus Christ did, greater shall you do than that. Are you understanding what God you serve? Are you understanding me? Are you willing to apply my word? See, God's word, you can take it to the bank, you can take it anywhere in cash, you can take it to a place full of Sodom and Gomorrah, you can take his word anywhere and it's going to do what it came to do. You ain't got to work it up and do all this hooking and hollering and flipping and acrobatic stuff or entertainment. No, open your mouth and speak what his word says. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So again, if you would like to comment, or you have a question to ask, or you need prayer, you want me to touch and agree with you, amen, that's what we're here for. Hallelujah. Just dial the number one. Press one. Amen. And if someone you know needs to be on here right away, please give them the number. It's 347-945-5416. Amen. Glory be to God. So I come to you tonight with a gentle, loving, salt tongue because this is not a rebuking night. This is a night for us that's been in ministry in the race for quite some time to look at ourselves and let's be honest. Do we really understand God? Do we actually know our identity? Because Proverbs 15:1-2, I'm coming from Amplified, it says, a soft and gentle and thoughtful answer turns away wrath, but harsh and painful and careless words stir up anger. God is not here to stir up anything opposite of love within you. He's here to thought provoke us on tonight, and I'm first partaker, and he's here to get us to choose to be honest with ourselves in the church first. Because in this world, the church, we lead by example. We're the ones that's supposed to be the example of the word being made flesh through a process. Glory be to God. We're supposed to be the example of what Jesus Christ said, doing greater works. Hallelujah. Subliminal. What does subliminal mean, prophet? This is what subliminal means, beloved. Existing or functioning below the threshold of consciousness. What does that mean in kindergarten and more on down-to-earth terms, because I'm very transparent. This means in the Bible, if you're in relationship with God and you chose to say, Lord, teach me how to spend time with you, this means that when you're reading the Bible, go beyond the surface of a scripture. Hallelujah. Don't just be literal and figurative with everything. God, that's why he said, read and study the word, rightfully dividing the truth. So when you study something, you don't just look at it on the surface, go beyond the surface, meaning what Jesus was doing. In God's word and what he said in his word, it has to be perceived by the spirit, not just on the surface of the scripture. You have to literally sit there and say, Lord, when you're reading the word, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to us? It has to be perceived by the spirit and looked at beyond the surface. Because here's what I heard tonight as I was spending time with God on his word. He said, why do you think I even sent my son to you all? One of the roots was, he said, I was sending him to show you what the manifestation of touching and agreeing is all about. He said, see, Jesus had already told me yes, and he was following through, coming on down there, going through the process. And when he came into your presence, when he came into everybody's presence in the natural on the earth at that time, in that time frame, what he was doing was touching and agreeing with them on their healing and deliverance. He was touching and agreeing on them being made whole. He was touching and agreeing with them having their right mind spiritually and naturally. I'll back that up in just a second for you. Hallelujah. Because the question is this. Here's the analogy I'm going to give you, an analogy that came into my spirit on tonight concerning God's word, what he has to say on tonight to his people in the church first. Because, first of all, God is not dealing with those that's not into ministry yet, because, see, they're not the ones he's saying is supposed to lead by example. That's what sinners do. He understands. Their minds have not transformed and been renewed yet. And some of that is because of the churches at fault for that, too. God is holding us accountable. Because when we say yes to him, we're also saying yes to him using us according to his word. Yes to us choosing to put application to his word as well, because faith without works is dead. We can't just talk about it and stay in the church walls and now go apply it outside of the walls in outreach ministry as well, because that's what Jesus Christ did. And greater works we're supposed to be doing in this present time. Amen. So we're past due on manifestations of God in this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. So the analogy tonight I present to you people, even myself as first partaker, is this. If you were like me growing up, you know, I'm from Chicago. I live the city life. I love the city life. I got bullied growing up. I got bullied probably a few times because I was the one that was insecure and quiet. And so one day it was my turn to get bullied. Glory be to God. So I'm going to use the analogy about getting bullied and or having to defend yourself. Now look at this in the natural. That's why I'm going to go first. When I was about to get bullied and I knew it was my turn, I, in my mind, even though fear was trying to seize me, I said, but you know what? All these kids around me are looking. And so I don't like the feeling of getting punched or slapped or spit on because it looks painful. And having an abusive mother, I knew it was going to be painful. So I said, to prove myself that I'm not a coward, I'm not going to let this girl beat me up in front of everybody in this alley. And bet you by golly, wow, after one hit to the head in my temple, that knocked some sense into me. And I guarantee you she never put her hand or tried me again. And I think this was like in sixth grade. And this young lady that wanted to bully me and let me know it was my turn that day, her family that she came from was nothing but bullies and just all messed up, into gang stuff. You know, you name it. You know, that's very well known in Chicago, gang banging and stuff like that. And so she just decided, since I stood out as a sore thumb that day, so it was my turn. And I decided that, shoot, it only take one time for me for somebody to knock some sense into me, and I'm going to stand my ground because you ain't going to get to hit me like that no more. I'm saying that to say this. The way it ought to be for us that's in the church, that's been in the game, in the race for quite some time now, especially if you're in leadership and you're laboring and you're doing things in ministry in the church, whether it's parking lot greeting or ushering or greeting people when they come in, on the worship team, praise team, you're into mime dance and praise dancing, you teach the word, you're over the youth ministry, or you're laboring and an assistant in the youth ministry, whatever it is that you're doing, evangelizing, deacon, bishop, pastor, you name it. You should not be letting Satan and his cohorts bully you still, and you just letting them hit you all upside your head, give you knots of fear, knots of doubt, knots of unbelief. You got knots of sickness and illness and infirmity and disease. Now you're back in the doctor's office. Now you're back in the line, in the prayer line, saying you want all the high priests, the scholars, you name it, to lay their hands up on you and get this up off you and believe with you and all this other stuff and fight it for you and face the demons for you and all this other crazy religious stuff that we're still doing, that God is saying, that's not who I am. You have yet to understand me. You have yet to apply my word and just stand your ground to that demon yourself, because it's feeding off your fear. It's feeding off, it sees that you're still religious, that you have a form of me, but you still don't know me yet. So tonight I encourage you, stop getting bullied. Stop letting Satan bully you like that. Fight back. Fight back by the Spirit. And if you don't know what to do, here's what I tell people to do. Who created you? That's who you go to. Go right back to the Creator and say, look, God, I'm tired of not knowing what to do. Because, see, God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge, especially if you're already connected to a church and you're a member of the church. Okay, well, you should have been uncommunicated now to your leaders. If you know that that is your God-ordained leaders, come on now. You've been in this race for quite some time. You should be communicating. Who are you connected to as far as your spiritual siblings? Come on now. Are they stronger than you spiritually? Because sometimes you're going to need some folks that's stronger than you to come on, stand with you, fight with you. Glory be to God. This is part of application, but don't just let Satan oops upside your head. I say oops upside your head. Oops, upside your head. Come on now. Stop letting Satan take your rest. Stop getting bullied. You up all night, insomnia, hitting you with haymakers, restlessness, tormenting you. Now you got tension in your neck, stuff setting up in your spine. You can't even sleep now. You're tossing and turning. Lord Jesus, ain't had no rest. You're mentally tossing and turning because you're thinking about the next day when you know in the Word of God it said each day has enough trouble of its own. Why would you add to that? Now you're back in the doctor's office. Something wrong with your heart because now you're stressed. When you wake up, you're letting them come with you when you brush your teeth. You're doing your hair, letting them play in your hair, letting them do your eyelashes, everything under your eyelids. It's steaming red, hot on fire, not God's fire. Hallelujah. Anxiety fire. You got all this stuff going on because you just won't fight back in the spirit. Did you know you can even simply say something as, I plead the blood of Jesus against you. If you don't know what the spirit is that's attacking you, guess what? Again, you are created in God's likeness and image. Open your prophetic mouth and say, I command this spirit to be exposed in Jesus' name. I'm not playing with you. You got to know how to speak back to spirits because spirits didn't come to play with you. Some of them are sex demons in the night and come to lay with you. Catch that by your spirit. Jesus, Jesus. Again, if you want to comment or you have a prayer request and you want to ask a question or share something, you are at freedom and liberty to press 1. Amen. And if you want to get somebody on here and let them know about it, here's the number, 347-945-5416. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So again, when some of you are just like me, all your life you had to fight. See, I had to fight because, see, my father didn't get a chance to be in my life yet. And then my mom couldn't be a mother because she didn't ever go to God. Like God simply says, come to me all ye who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. She wouldn't do that, but she's real religious now. Hallelujah. But she wouldn't just go to God, let him teach her how to be a mother to us and woman up and take responsibility for us as a woman because she couldn't be both. That's perversion. Hallelujah. She can only be a mother. God is our father as well. He's I am to us. Hallelujah. So with that being said, I had to be the mother. I had to protect my siblings. I had to protect them from getting bullied because people used to try to bully my siblings, especially the one that was close to me. 5 years apart, people tried to bully her and say, I'm the oldest sibling. I'm the oldest girl. And so I had to fight for them and protect them. I had to fight to protect myself. Glory be to God. I also will fight my mother's boyfriends with my siblings, protecting our mother. Hallelujah. So I had to be the mother. So I had to fight a lot. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is if I fought like that in the natural, my conviction is how much more so in the spirit I'm going to fight. I'm just not going to let Satan beat me up with condemnation because of my sins in the past. God said he already forgave me for that. Shut it down. Can't fight. Can't hit me with that no more. Try something else. Try again. Oh, like the commercial said, you got to do much better than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to do much better than that. See, I don't know about you, but see, I've been in this race and ministry for quite some time. I came back to God and chose to become his wife again after I had been adulterous in 2005. Hallelujah. And I'm not one to back down. I don't believe in getting bullied. You know, I don't believe in that. So like I was in the natural, I'm even more serious and something serious in the spirit. You're just not going to bully me. And see, it's even worse on Satan for me. I can't speak for you. But the more knowledge I get concerning God and more revelation, and the more stronger I get spiritually and the more I grow, more mature I become, the more hell is going to be on Satan. Oh, Lord. He already knows that. So he know he got to give me all he got. He got to hit me with his best shot to keep me down because it's just not going to work. I don't stay down. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Catch that by your spirit. And I'm not backing down because I'm not a coward. I'm a warrior. I'm a kingdom citizen, kingdom ambassador. I don't know what backing down is. I don't know what being a coward is. I don't know what fear is because fear is false evidence appearing real. It dramatizes itself. I'm not for the drama. Catch that by your spirit to be encouraged with. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So pay attention to that. You don't let Satan bully you, and he's already defeated. Defeated. He's already defeated. So why would you let somebody who is a liar, for God said he's the father of lies, why would you let him and his imps who he used, like the coward he is, and sent him assignment, because he can't face the truth. See, he ain't going to face himself. He ain't going to do that. He already know how he is. He's not going to expose himself. No, he's not going to do that. But here's the thing. You have the right to expose Satan. You have the right, according to God's law, to stand your ground and fight back in the spirit and stop getting caught up in your emotions and feelings. You already know when you said yes to God, like Jesus Christ did, he already showed us what happens when you say yes to the call, when you come into agreement with what God is calling you to do. Because Jesus, just like us, is a free will agent. He chose to purposely say yes. He saw the bigger picture. He already knew what Satan was going to do. Remember, Satan used to be up there in heaven too. Hallelujah. So Jesus already knew what time it was. He already knew what he was going to have to encounter as far as attacks. He may not know specifically how he was going to get attacked and tempted, but he knew it was all a part of the territory. That's part of the territory. It comes with it. So I'm saying to us in the church, in case somebody didn't teach you back in your baby stages, guess what? You too going to go through attacks and warfares and temptation, natural circumstances, situations, trials and tribulations, and Satan going to be busy just like God is busy. He is not more busier than God. And he does not have the power, and he is not the power. God is the power, so stop giving Satan power. Because either you're going to choose to be like David and stand your ground and run on the front line and fight and face these demons, face these attacks and warfares and temptations, or you're going to do like Jonadab did when he left Uriah on the front line to get killed on purpose. What you going to do? Because there is no in-between, and you cannot be lukewarm, because God's going to spit you back out. He don't want that. If you operate in religiosity, how much more trouble is going to be for you for misleading the sheep and people? Because you choose to have a form and not know God, but know of him. Come on now. Glory be to God. Again, if you would like prayer, or you would like to comment or ask a question, glory be to God, you want me to touch and agree with you on anything, press the number 1. And if you know someone that needs to be on here, the number is 347-945-5416. Amen. Praise God. You are at freedom, at liberty here to speak up and speak out. Amen. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. Amen. So remember, that's the problem with a lot of us in the church who are not babies in Christ. We're still letting Satan pin us up in the corner with fear, pin us up with condemnation, guilt, shame, and embarrassment, and becoming religious instead of remembering we're in relationship with God. When you're in relationship with one, you have to understand, yeah, you spend time with them. That means you know who you're in relationship with. Come on now. You know the kind of God you serve. So something is wrong when those of us who are in the church who say we're in relationship with God and we believe in his word, but yet we're doing opposite of what his word says. And you don't see manifestations of God in our life. It's not God, it's us. Uh-oh. For the majority of folks in the church, it's not God, it's us. Because, see, not everybody is saying one thing on the surface, but doing another when they get attacked and tempted and warfare is heightened, see? You have quite a bit of folks, laborers, who are saying, I'm going to fight. This don't feel good. And some of the stuff, God is allowing Satan to test me, just like he did with Job. Because remember, he did allow Satan to test and attack Job. But he said, you can't take his life. You cannot take his life because he don't belong to you. Come on now. Satan, they're going to show you Satan don't have no power. He had to get permission from our Father. Test that by your spirit. So when you get to complaining about, oh, Satan is just, girl, man, bruh, Satan is just busy, man. He about that busy life. I mean, I'm keeping it 100. No, you're keeping it 50% because Satan is not more busy than God. He don't have the power. God is the power. He showed you that when it came to Job. He had to get permission to try Job and attack him. And even with that, he still was limited by God. So Satan don't got nothing. Hallelujah. Because how can you have something when you've been defeated and then Jesus Christ came and took the keys out of your house? Come on now. And you didn't do nothing? Even Satan ain't no fool now. Come on, he know who they are. Do you know who you are? Yeah. See, it's easy to say I'm a Christian and I'm a believer and I believe in what God says, but what about when you get hit and it's your turn? Oh, Lord, it's your day. Oh, every day or a few days. Come on now, when it's your day to have a Job season. Lord Jesus, what do people see coming out of you? What do people hear coming out of you, child of God? Lord, have mercy. Help us on today. Glory be to God. Again, if you want prayer or you need someone to come into agreement with you on anything or you would like to comment, just press 1. Amen. And if someone needs to be on here that you know needs to be encouraged and helped and given this knowledge from God, please give them this number, 347-945-5416. Amen. Hallelujah. Why do you think in the Bible is so much subliminal, it's a lot of subliminal messages to God is sending us that when you get in relationship with Him, He and you're in oneness with Him by the Spirit, you can get the revelation? Because God is like this: when you get to know me, there are some things God won't have to even speak on or go into depth about, but you're going to pick it up in the Spirit because you're in intimacy. You've been intimate with God. And it's not just no quarterly intimacy or no when you feel like it or when it's your blessing season and you see the reason. No, this is every day. Every day. Hallelujah. Why do you think when God puts two people together in a union in a godly marriage that goes through, does it the way He says in His word, that they begin to speak without the other one even have to say it? Or as they think it, the other one will speak on it. All these things, they flow in oneness because they've been intimate with each other, regardless of how many times throughout the week they've been intimate. They spend time with each other. They live with each other. They see each other every day. So they begin to flow in oneness to where people think that they're brothers and sisters or cousins or relatives. And they say, no, we're husband and wife. And it blows people away because they literally start to look alike too. You ever notice? I noticed. Amen. Glory be to God. Again, stop allowing yourself to be bullied. Glory be to God. Learn how to defend yourself. How do you defend yourself and fight back? Isn't it amazing that you can tell those when we become spiritually immature, when we go into offense and defense with one another, when we're trying to hold each other accountable or help each other to see ourselves, but when Satan comes in like a flood, we don't go into defense. We don't get offended by that. We go into fear mode. Skip the beast mode. A lot of us subliminally say, miss me with the beast mode or fight back with warfare and fight back with my prayer and speaking the word of God. Give me the fear. Uh-oh. See, let's talk about it. Subliminal. See, that's a lot of us are sending those type of subliminal messages by the Spirit to those that can see us better than we can see ourselves, looking from the inside out. See, God has sent people that are spiritually more mature than you who can see from the outside in and try to help you. So instead of going into offense and defense or trying to call them out on their past things they've done, it would be wise to go to God and say, help me, Lord, to see what you're trying to get me to see even through them. Interesting. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, remember earlier when I mentioned about why one of the reasons Jesus came was to show us what we're supposed to be doing in the natural people. Glory be to God. We're supposed to be also coming into touch and agreement with them. Touch and agree. Touch and agree. Touch and agree. Touch and agree. Hallelujah. And if you didn't hear me the first two times, touch and agree. Because Jesus was showing us that's what He was doing. He was touching and agreeing, not only just with God, but also with us concerning what we needed. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy. So there's a problem if when we're getting attacked or stuff is happening to us because of our faithfulness or laboring and things we're doing, if we're bowing down and letting fear seize us instead of operating like Jesus showed us, doing greater works, not in others' lives only, but also in our household, in our neighborhood, and in our own lives. The best way kind of practice you can do is starting with yourself. Hey, come on now, learn how to build yourself up. Learn how to encourage yourself. Learn how to speak to that bump on your head. Learn how to speak to that issue or that situation with your genitalia. Learn how to speak the word of God over it. I do it myself. If something is manifesting on my body that I know is not supposed to be there, no sir, no ma'am, you cannot be here. You are operating illegally. You are trespassing. My temple does not belong to you. My temple does not belong to a sickness, infirmity, illness, or disease. No, I'm going to rebuke it, and until I see it going, I'm going to make sure I let it know you can't even come back here on any part of my body. You can't transfer or relocate. You cannot to any other part of my body. Glory be to God. You have been evacuated and evicted by the power of the blood of Jesus and the authority and dominion that I have the right to exercise, because that's what God said in His word. Oh, Lord Jesus, but you can't do that if you won't choose to apply it. Again, this is not for the babies in Christ because we understand you're just now learning. But when you've been in this race for quite some time, you're accountable now. Come on now, because we know better. We got to do better. Here's some scripture to back up the manifestations of Jesus showing us what we're supposed to do, touch and agree. Jesus said he came to touch and agree as well. Number one, Matthew 9:28-29, King James Version said, "And when he," glory be to God, "was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." See, all he did was say, look, that's what I asked you in the church tonight, even myself. You're not a baby in Christ no more. You ain't the baby no more. Hallelujah. So you shouldn't still be on the pacifier or on the milk of your on the bosom of your leaders. Glory be to God. You're not a baby no more. You're not the baby. Come on now, get up off your knees and stop crawling. It's time for you to walk this word out so that the manifestations of God, plural, the manifestations of God can be seen in your life so that your neighbor can be healed and delivered and set free and come out of captivity. The people that God is using, that Satan, excuse me, is using against you as pawns can be set free. The people on your job, your husband, your fiance, you name it, family members, kinfolk, Tyrone, them, Pookie, them, Shaniqua, Alizé, Kavassier, you name it, all of them can be brought free and set free and healed and delivered by you applying and walking in his word, becoming the word made flesh every day. Process. Let God have his way. Hey, 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 all right now. Glory be to God. So again, if you want prayer, or you want to comment or ask a question, you want me to touch and agree with you, amen, just press 1. Glory be to God. And if you know someone that needs to be on here, the number is 347-945-5416. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's touching and agreeing. Glory be to God. The second scripture I want to give you, Mark 5, coming from Amplified, talking about the woman with the issue of blood. Hallelujah. A woman in the crowd had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years. How many of you know that they say that there's a certain amount of blood you can lose in the natural that after that you're dead? You don't make it past even 1 year, let alone 12 years. Come on now. Now, this was God keeping her on purpose so he can get the glory. He's trying to show us, especially in the church, what kind of God he is. 26, and had endured much suffering at the hands of many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but instead had become worse. She had heard reports about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd, and watch this, and touched his outer robe. For she thought, catch this by your spirit, if I just touch his clothing, I will get well. That is what we call touching and agreeing. And she understood who Jesus is. Verse 29, immediately her flow of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body and knew without any doubt that she was healed of her suffering. 30, immediately Jesus, recognizing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in around you from all sides, and you ask, who touched me? Look at that. Lord, help us today in the church. We still ain't caught on. We still ain't caught on. 32, still he kept looking around to see the woman who had done it. And the woman, though she was afraid and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith, your personal trust and confidence in me has restored you to health. Go in peace and be permanently healed from your suffering, touching and agreeing. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God is trying to show us something. He's been showing us something. The question is for us in the church that have been in the race enduring for quite some time, and you're not a babe in Christ no more. You can't use that. He is saying, when are you just going to touch and agree with my word? I've already said it. Healing is yours. Deliverance is yours. I don't care how many times you have to go to the doctor's office or how it looks with your family members or how it looks with your body, what it's doing. I'm asking you, when are you going to start applying my word so that people can see in the world that I am real? that they can see, that they don't have to go to the psychics or the tarot card readers, the palm readers. They don't have to get on these quizzes and stuff for people to get them bound to witchcraft and these familiar spirits and witches and warlocks. When are you just going to touch and agree with my word? Number three, touching and agreeing. Matthew 8:2-3, King James Version. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand, and guess what? And touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean. Amplified says, and a leper came up to him and bowed down before him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you are able to make me clean. Well, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Glory be to God, touching and agreeing. Oh, Lord Jesus, you need to be cleansed by your spirit if you're not a babe in Christ. And if you're a babe in Christ, this is an excellent night for you, amen, to learn this, because you can also take off. You'd be surprised how quickly you end up bypassing others in ministry that's been there for 20-something decades and still ain't caught this simple teaching of God about fighting back. This is how you fight back, through understanding and knowledge. God said, I've already given us. He's already given us all his understanding, knowledge, and clarity in and throughout his word. We just have yet to apply it. And it's not to say everybody's in the church like this, but if the truth be told, and if you look at actuality beyond the surface of church, the majority of us still have yet to understand who God is and know him for ourselves and actually apply his word so that we can do greater works. See, you can't do greater works if you're still doing the same religious accolades and you just know of God and you won't even learn how to be a strategist and fight back in the spirit. You won't be able to do greater works yet. Hallelujah. Again, if you have a comment or a prayer request, or you would like to say something or ask a question, please press 1. If you know someone that needs to get on here, have them dial 347-945-5416. So in my closing, beloved, here's what you're to do. You need to know your identity, and this goes for me as well as first partaker. A great, excellent person to be an example of that is David. 1 Samuel 17:48 amplified. Here's what David did. This is what we need to do concerning demonic spirits, generational curses, strongholds, the strong man. You need to deal with the strong man. I'll give you an example. If you know that you've been battling with low self-esteem, lack of confidence and timidity, shyness, and you just super silly or whatever and things like that, those are not the strong men. The strong man is insecurity. Oh, Lord Jesus, if you know you have a problem with sleeping around with folks and you just sleep with anyone that you feel accepted with, the strong man is insecurity and you have an identity crisis. Those things need to be bound and dealt with, and you need healing and deliverance so that every cousin and niece and uncle and auntie of those spirits has to go with it. Amen. That's going to help you right there. 1 Samuel 17:48. Amplified, this is how you will know them by the fruit they bear. For those of us that's been in ministry for some time, and for if you're a babe in Christ, it's going to help you. When the Philistine rose and came forward to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line. Lord Jesus, how many of us in the church that's been in this race for quite some time are choosing to run quickly to pray, run quickly to praise and worship God, to run quickly to the word of God, pick up some scriptures, and start hitting Satan with them? Start boxing back and fighting back in the spirit. Come out of the corner. Come out of the timeout corners and stuff like that. Come out of the religious corners. Come out of the religiosity. Come out of the knowing of God and the form. Glory be to God. So that's my closing scripture right there to encourage you all. God wants us to fight back. When a demon, a spirit, a devil, a witch, whoever, Satan is challenging you, challenging your children, your marriage, your finances, whatever it is, your ministries, your mind, your health, what are you doing? Are you running quickly like David toward the battle line to meet with this demon or this spirit through your prayer, your praise and worship? Or are you tucking tail and off with your head? Oh, Jesus. So at this time, we want to open up the floor, amen, if you need to give your life to Christ or rededicate. We lovingly stand with you and touch and agree with you at this time as we're getting ready to close out for the evening, amen. And I encourage you, if you can, to repeat after me, Father, I thank you on tonight I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I thank you, Lord, that you're not like man. I thank you, Father God, for always welcoming me with your loving arms and unconditional love. Tonight, Lord, with conviction and not condemnation, I choose to give my life back to you. I choose to rededicate myself back to you as your wife, as your bride. Cleanse me, Lord. I give you permission of every spot, wrinkle, and blemish. Make all things new in my life. And I accept your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you. With a made-up mind, I say yes. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name it is so. Amen. Amen. Again, we bless God for the word on tonight. Bless God for the people here at Blog Talk Radio Station for even allowing us to be here and hearing the voice of the Lord. We bless God for Eagles Wings Ministries International. We are a church with and without walls. And we bless God for the leaders, Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree. And the voice you heard on tonight was myself, Prophet Gabrielle Bonner. Again, we love you all. God bless you. Until next Sunday. Amen.
Anybody in here been through some storms? If you've been through some storms, raise two hands. Well, I see some folks didn't raise their hands. I want to tell you, your storm is on the way. Do I have a witness here? All of us have to go through. Do I have a witness? In fact, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. In fact, I want to tell you tonight, you have to go through in order to get out. Do I have a witness here? Anybody here, if you've been through and God brought you out, I want you to tell two people, say, neighbor, I've been through. But I'm still here. Tell somebody else.
Help,
Father.
Help, Father.
You are the Mercy and grace.